pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a public meeting of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton, county of Hunterdon, and state of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, in that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, the Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger.
Roll call.
Yep. Councilwoman Switley?
Here.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Here.
Councilman Malay?
Here.
Council President McKiernan?
Present.
And Mayor Higgins is absent tonight.
If I could, just for the council, there was some last-minute material that was distributed to you that we received last minute in connection with the affordable housing plan, so I would like to ask you to amend your agenda to add an executive session at the end of the meeting for purposes of, again, discussing your affordable housing plan, questions regarding or matters related to the compliance hearing and some of the components of that plan.
I'll move that amendment to the agenda.
I'll say it.
Now, when the time comes, I'll read the resolution into the record.
Did somebody second it?
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
We're now going to convene as the department or as the Board of Health. Is a representative from 531 Hampton Road here?
Yes.
If you can approach the microphone. And we have you here to present to us a proposal for a septic alteration design?
Correct.
Good evening. I'm Doug Fine, professional engineer, licensed by the state of New Jersey. My client, Mr. Canfield, is here with me, but this is an alteration to replace an existing cesspool. And when we are up against this is on Hampton Road, so we're up against the tributary to the South Branch. So if everybody has the design, I believe, but on sheet two of the plot plan kind of shows the existing property, the existing well, the neighbor's existing well. We've got quite a bit of constraints on us. Permeability testing was adequate. We're well above elevation-wise, above the river itself. It's just that the Clinton Township Ordinance requires us to be 100 feet from a creek. And when pressed up against the two wells, 100 feet doesn't work. So I'm here just to ask for a waiver to allow us to relax that to the state code, which is 50, and I've managed to propose the corner of the excavation 51 feet from the top of bank.
And we do have concurrence from the Hunterdon County Department of Public Safety that they concur with that. That we could move the, because it's 51 feet away, that they would be acceptable to it being approved.
It's within the state regulations, so yeah. Given the circumstances, I'm fine.
Yep.
Have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve
it. Amy seconds it.
Councilwoman Switler?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I will reconvene as the Township of Clinton Mayor and Council meeting. At this time, we'll move to the consent agenda. All items on the consent agenda shall be considered and voted upon in one motion. Should there be a question regarding any item, that item shall be removed from the consent agenda and voted upon separately. We have three items on the consent agenda. We have refund of tax payments. There's two of those. Release of escrows. Also a change order number one on Stanton Mountain Road, which really affects the drainage on the road that has recently been repaved. Any questions or concerns?
I have none. I'll move the consent agenda.
Second it.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malay.
Yes.
And Council President McTiernan.
Yes. At this stage here, we've got two public comment sections. Actually, we have three because we do have an ordinance we'll be adopting. But a public comment section. If anyone has a comment to make to the council, please come up, state your name and address. Major?
Hi there, Laura Zamrock, 20 Tree Line Drive. Very excited to be here. Thank you for having me. I just wrote what I'm going to write. I'd like to thank Mayor Higgins and the Town Council for the opportunity to speak at tonight's meeting. I will be brief as I know you have many items on the agenda this evening. Several months ago, Mrs. Lori Latsko informed you of a request to begin the process of creating a quiet zone in Clinton Township. We thank you all for considering this request. Since that meeting earlier this year, there have been many meetings with area towns and municipalities who have been successful in achieving a quiet zone via the Department of Transportation. We have met with residents, engineers, police officers, and DOT representatives. This grassroots movement is shaping up to be a township-wide endeavor that has its one goal to maintain Clinton Township's safety and beauty. You will be hearing from engineer Maurice Rashad, who has been instrumental in establishing a majority of the quiet zones in New Jersey. He will speak to the process. I will speak of the people. In the initial request, we were made aware that this request would benefit a handful of people. I would like to respectfully offer that there is not one family in Clinton Township that is neither within walking or driving distance to one of our railroad crossings. We cross over the tracks when we take our kids to Camp Carr, ride along the Lansdowne Trail, drive the back roads to Walmart, or make our way to church on Sunday. We are all part of the Norfolk Southern Railway on a daily basis. Our request tonight is to walk hand in hand with the mayor and town council as we gather people to investigate the quiet zone and request DOT assistance with making our crossings safer. This committee would be comprised of residents, engineers, and any personnel needed to achieve the goal of making our crossings safer. In addition to Mrs. Latsko, Engineer Rashad, myself, and others in our neighborhood, with a myriad of applicable expertise, we have gained the support and expertise of lifelong resident Mr. Mark Strauss, who, with his background in the Annandale Hose Company and Clinton Township Police Department, will be a valuable asset. We respectfully request your assistance with creating this committee and look forward, under the guidance of Mayor Higgins, to designate Clinton Township as a quiet zone made safer because of this group. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, I'm Suzanne Schuss. I'm 11 Regional Road. I just have two questions that I've been trying to figure out from for the affordable housing. The tracks on the map list two pieces of property, lots 4.03 and lot 4. Now, from what I understand, the building of the current design is supposed to take place on lot 4.03. Is that correct?
Are you commenting about the ordinance that's coming up on the agenda?
This is about the affordable housing.
Well, if you're on Regional Road,
but it sounds like you're talking about the
Marukian.
Yeah, so what I would ask is if you can hold your comments until we do the public hearing on the ordinance, because this relates to that ordinance,
okay,
and we want to keep your comments and questions together with it.
In the meantime, can I show her?
Yes.
Oh, if you can.
This is a public document and has since been approved by the planning board.
I actually looked at it, but I couldn't find it.
All right. Well, we can regroup. You can borrow it.
I'll just take a deep
breath. Yeah. Yep. And then we'll double back.
Anyone else wish to make a comment? Okay. With that, we'll close the public comment section and move on to reports from the director's liaison.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. Is this when Mr. Rashad is supposed to talk? They said they added it to the agenda, but I didn't know where.
No.
We didn't add any.
Okay.
So this would be
okay,
it.
Then you can talk.
Good evening, everyone. I've been in this room many, many times before for planning and zoning applications. It's good to be back here. I recognize some of you. My name is Maurice Rashad. I'm an engineer. I work with Mesa Consulting. And one of my expertise is quiet zones. I've done quiet zones in neighboring communities, including Hillsboro, Branchburg, and other towns in New Jersey, such as Woodbridge. And I was asked by members of the community to come and speak to you about the process and answer any questions you may have. I'm going to start by maybe doing a two-minute overview of the process and what it takes to complete the process and how much it costs and where the money would come from. The simplest way to explain a quiet zone is to say that it involves improving the crossing safety-wise to compensate for the quieting of the horn. In other words, when you quiet the horn, you would think that there will be a reduction in safety. So to compensate for that, you would have to add certain elements to the crossing that would improve the safety to a level higher than what we lost from quieting the horn. And the two most commonly used methods to accomplish this are the what we refer to as the quad gates. That means when you have four gates on all corners, or installing a little median strip in the center of the road so that when the driver comes in, the driver has the little median on his or her left and then the gate in front so that driver cannot go around the gates. The idea behind these two improvements is to eliminate the possibility of a driver going around the gates or making a mistake. There are, of course, other measures that are approved by the federal government, and rail agencies may accept them. But these are the two most common methods. Now, in Annandale, in Clinton Township, from what I've seen so far, I think the community is, I would say, luckier than other communities in that the crossings themselves already have gates, at least the one I looked at on Hamden Road. That is significant because gates could cost $500,000, maybe to maybe $800,000. That's already in existence. So the supplementary measures, that's the technical term for these improvements, that needs to be added to the crossing are above and beyond the gates. In terms of cost, the cost really vary. Being that you have gates, we don't have to worry about that part of the cost. But if we're doing the median, that involves widening the road. For example, Hamden Road at the crossing is about 19 feet. That road would need to be probably 26 to 28 feet to accommodate a 4-foot median area and lanes that are suitable for traffic. So I'm not totally ready to tell you exactly how much, but I can give you examples of other towns where we implemented something similar. The cost was in the area of maybe $100,000 to $200,000 per crossing. But again, that varies. That may be less or more depending on the conditions. Now, where do we get the money from? There are a couple of ways to get money for quiet zones. In Hillsboro, the township had an opportunity to levy a fee to a couple of developers that were coming in the area of the crossing or close enough. And that actually paid for the entire project for four crossings. Other than that, there are some grants. I'd like to note that I don't believe there is any grant specifically for the purpose of quiet zones. However, the NJDOT and the federal government, they have programs where they issue grants to improve the safety of a roadway. And I think the community here has an opportunity to apply for these grants and say that this is a 19-foot roadway. You cannot safely navigate two vehicles in opposite directions and maybe somebody riding a bicycle. And that may justify, from a safety perspective, the investment to widen the road and improve it safety-wise, which will help us achieve
the credits we need to achieve to qualify for the quiet zone. Now, once we put all these improvements together, the rail company cannot deny the quiet zone. This process is under the auspices of the New Jersey Department of Transportation. They would come, they would shepherd the process, and they would issue an order that the rail company would have to abide by. The process usually takes approximately 18 months, and then if everything is successful, the train will no longer sound the horn in proximity of the crossing, unless, of course, there is an emergency or a special reason. And that's a quick overview that I wanted to give you tonight. If you have any questions or somebody from the public has questions, I'll be more than happy to answer.
What about the follow-on costs, maintenance? We've heard some insurance may be levied in addition to any other fees, or their ongoing engineering fees?
There is. The maintenance cost in your case should not be an issue because the gates are there already, and the railroad company, in this case, is Norfolk Southern. They are responsible for these gates, so they will maintain them. So the maintenance cost for the town would be the maintenance of the pavement markings, the signs, that little median, which should not be significant. These things could be could last for years without any maintenance. In Hillsboro, I went out last year. This is, I believe, 5 years after the installation and the establishment of the quiet zone. And I found just a couple of signs missing and a few items that needed to be restored. So it has not been an issue at all. In terms of insurance, that depends on the agreement. And I don't recall how much the other towns are paying in insurance, but that issue does come up when the agreement is being drawn between the rail company, in this case Norfolk Southern, and the township.
Do you have any estimates at all on what those increased insurance costs would be?
I would be guessing. I would hate to guess.
Okay, because I know there are some statistics out there that show with this that the risk is increased by insurance companies, they're feeling, at 66.8%. Are you familiar with that?
I am.
Okay.
But let me just explain what that means and so everybody understands. The risk actually diminishes when you do the quiet zone, and that was established by the Federal Highway Administration in 2005. They have determined that implementing a quiet zone makes the crossing safer. And that makes sense. You don't need an engineer to tell you that. Once you completely prevent the driver from being able to circumvent the gates, that's a big improvement. Now, what you're referring to, Mr. Council President, right?
Yes.
What you're referring to is the fact that the rail company may shift the insurance responsibility to the town. So now the town, before the quiet zone, doesn't have that responsibility. Now they do. So from that perspective, the liability is increased. But I don't want anybody to be mistaken to think that it's increased because the crossing is less safe. It's the other way around.
It's just an increased cost to the township.
It's an increased cost, correct. Yes.
And then the other towns that you've dealt with, I think you mentioned Hillsboro. Those did not have any gates, or did they have?
Hillsboro had gates. The town that did not have gates that I did is Woodbridge. So we had to install gates and all the other improvements along with it.
When this was first put up to council, I believe the agreement was that there would be a meeting with certain members of the supporting residents with the mayor, and they would be identifying grants or where grants could come from. It sounds like from the comments we've heard, grant identification has not taken place, which is understandable. Where would you see the monies coming to pay for these crossings, and how many crossings would you see in your experience or your driving around that would need to be covered by that?
That's a good question. There are two sources for money. One is NJDOT, and the other is the Federal Highway Administration. With the NJDOT, like I said, we'd have to apply and provide a good case that indicates to them that doing this will improve safety in general, independent of the quiet zone, and then use these improvements to get the quiet zone. So that's the DOT process. The federal process, I have to admit that I am not 100% up to date on the latest, because I heard that they do have now, or they could have funds specifically to that would qualify for a quiet zone, but I'm not sure. So that was something that we have.
When this first took place and folks came here and brought this to our attention, I did a little bit of research myself. The research that I found was that there are grants that are available. I think they came from the Federal Railroad Administration.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I said Federal Highway. Okay. It's Federal Railroad, I apologize. Yeah.
But those grants seem all to be identified and awarded to, call it urban areas or high-density areas. In your experience, we're a more rural area than many of, the, I think, the cities even that you've cited as far as number of residents per mile, any other measure that would be utilized. Would you see that these grants would be awardable to a community such as Clinton Township?
They could be. And you're right that the people that review these grants, they look at impact. And one of the greatest measure is how many people would impact. That's why, for example, the city that has the most quiet zones is Chicago. I think they have over 100, if I'm not mistaken. And money gets spent because you put a quiet zone, it impacts 20,000 people or a large number of people. However, in Clinton Township, what we have to do is we have to go on the safety route more than the impact to the number of individuals that live around this crossing. And the safety route, I think, in my opinion, it's a good way to a good vehicle because right now there is a national movement that is known as Complete Streets. That is a new policy that most states have adopted. Most counties around the nation are in the process of adopting. And in simplistic ways, what it means is that the road should be suitable for everyone, the walkers, the people riding a bicycle, and the cars. And when you have a roadway that is 19 feet in width, it cannot be a complete street. So that's one of the argument that we could use to justify money from the FRA or from the DOT to improve the road.
Not to belabor the point, and I'll ask you about next steps in this, but would something like that not then require having some sidewalks and other improvements put in the same area?
I mean,
compete with these cities such as Chicago or Los Angeles, et cetera?
Not necessarily. There's, having a complete street, of course, will include a sidewalk, a bicycle lane or a bicycle path, and so on. But you don't have to provide all of them. And you provide what you can based on the constraints. And we do have constraints in this area. One of them is the crossing itself. That is a constraint. What we can go after, not to go into a lot of details, but just to answer your question properly, is a shared lane. A shared lane is normally accepted to be 15 feet. So if your roadway is 30 feet and it's two lanes, 15 and 15, a 15-foot lane is understood to be to function as a shared lane. Shared meaning it could be used by a car and a bicycle. In the case of Hampden Road, for example, with 19 feet divided by 2, that's about 9.5 feet per lane. That is not a shared lane. So this is one example I'm giving you so you understand how you can provide for a multimodal transportation without having all the elements.
Chelsea, can I just ask a quick question? I know you deal with NJDOT and safety issues. Now, I don't know if we go down the safety issue with this. Isn't that sort of the same road we went down with things like Blossom Hill? I mean, we haven't gotten anything for Blossom Hill or any, and that's a safety issue. That's a serious safety issue. Is that like the same type of?
Well, I think this is a grant. This is a category? It's a grant application.
Yeah. So it's different.
But we have applied it for four or five occasions for sidewalk grants through Safe Streets to Transit and Safe Streets
to Schools,
and we've been denied. I think partly because of the rural nature of our area. I don't think it hurts, to be honest, to apply for the grant. But I do think we need a little bit more certainty as to what the costs will be, you know, on an ongoing basis, and our ability to, and how they'll be funded, let's say. So, but I think. I know, Ms. Latsko, that when you had sent that email out to all of us with information, I guess in March, I reached out to the mayor, and he had indicated he was going to try to reach out and set up a meeting. And I think that he would be more than willing to continue to meet with a group of the residents, and if he felt necessary, loop in either another member of the governing body or whomever needed the administrator. So, I mean, we can certainly convey that to the mayor and...
Yeah, we'd love to, you know, form a committee with various council members and various residents, a lot of people have volunteered, you know, just to get together, brainstorm, do more research together. You know, I mean, at least if we could just make the first step and see if it's feasible to
right.
get the grant.
And I'd like to disclose, I'm not retained by anyone. I'm not being paid to say anything, by the way. They asked me to volunteer, and I agreed to do it.
Are you a resident of the area?
No, no. I was just asked, and I agreed to do it.
Yeah. And out of curiosity, what percent of success have you seen in municipalities or residents going after these grants? Is it a high level of success, a low level of success?
I wouldn't say it's high.
Yeah, but there's no harm in trying.
But there's no harm in trying.
Exactly. If we have a mechanism by which to absorb or to have the funds paid for the any ongoing costs, I mean, our budget is tight every year, and this year is no different. So that's always a concern. But I think a small committee to gather those details and,
yes, and you know,
would
Sarah
be
and I,
this kind of information would be helpful.
We'll call the other townships and ask them what they're paying for insurance. You know, we'll gather.
I think Jesse had some of that information. So
yeah. We'll get. You know, we've been in touch with people in Reddington and Grantsburg and Hillsborough, and that's how we found Mr. Shinnett is through them. And we'll, you know, gather as much information as you need. You know, we're willing to do whatever legwork we need.
Yeah, small committee to exchange information. We had some success with Annandale with a committee that a small committee of residents, a liaison from the council. And
perfect.
We didn't get everything,
Thank you.
Some things take a long time, especially if you're trying for grants. I mean, we started in 2009 trying for grants for Center Street and Main Street and Annandale. We still don't have them. We're still trying.
How long? Mike, let's just assume we said let's start tomorrow.
Let's assume we have the money 18 months. If we have once you have the money, it's about 18 months to get the actual horn to be shut down.
Okay.
It's a lot of steps, a lot of things that we have to do with the state, with Norfolk Southern.
And to be sure the residents know, I believe it still would be the engineer's discretion on using the horn as they come along in our area. Especially we have these things called deer and.
Of course.
Whatever that they tend
yes.
to hoot at.
Yes. Yep.
I am aware, though, that I believe the application deadline for the DOT grant to be considered for 2019, I believe, is September 30th. So I don't know if that's possible in getting a committee together to gather information to apply by that time, but I believe it's September 30th to be considered for 2019.
I think if we act fast, you can probably get some meetings
scheduled. Challenge, but see what we can get.
Thank you very
yeah.
much.
And I'll reach out to the mayor and suggest that he reach out to you and I guess Ms. Samrock.
Yeah, would be,
if he could pass along your contact information, I'll include it.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yep.
Yeah. Other comments? Did anyone else have a comment or not to exclude anyone? Okay, we'll move on back to the agenda. If we can go back to our director's report, starting off with Tom.
So the REC committee, well, I'll start with the Environmental Commission. I have nothing to report there. I know that their Windy Acres are making that more usable with benches and things like that. They're very good and passionate about that project, and I don't see them stopping that passion, which is good. The Rec Committee, we had a wonderful community day. It held out till 6:15 when a storm came in and cleared the parking lot in 10 minutes.
It was quite a nice citizen.
Yeah. We had the wonderful opening of the dog park that Amy was instrumental in making happen. There were a lot of dog owners there for the parade and the contest and just overall running around in a dog park. So I think it's, I drove by the other day. Well, I'll let Amy talk about that. But a lot of softball games, baseball games. It was great. That's it as far as Community Day and the Rec Committee.
Thank you, sir.
And I'll let Brian talk about finance if there's anything new.
I don't think there really is anything.
Yeah, there's nothing new since last time.
We haven't met since last time, which, for those who were in the audience, we introduced our budget last meeting. Adoption sometime in the future. We have, my only report is on the Sewer Authority, and they met last week. There was a gentleman from who's interested in acquiring a property on Main Street, the Main Street that runs up to, I think, near High Bridge Annandale, in that vicinity. Yeah, there's too many of them. He's trying to acquire a property that currently has four housing units, one of which did not have the proper approvals. And if the project can go forward, one of the four will be affordable. If he can manage to add two more, another affordable unit would be generated. So if this works out, hopefully that would be nice. But the Sewer Authority did grant him capacity for the fourth unit. They've had some delays in beginning work on their pump stations. They've got two pump stations that they've had in their capital plan to repair this year and upgrade. The Maple Ave pump station will begin first, and 641 will start second. And they're also working on a mission control system, which is going to replace some auto divers. That's going to cost about $60,000. Other than that, I have nothing else to report.
Okay, North Hunter and Voorhees Board of Ed meeting. They did their goal setting, which pretty much mirrored their strategic plan. They also had the same public comment as last meeting, accusations on board members, superintendents, and things like that. A lot of OPA requests, but that's about it, I'll say about that. The calendar is the same as last year with project graduation. There was talk last meeting of adding days, different ways of handling the calendar. They decided to keep it exactly as it was last year. Project graduation is actually a separate thing from the high school, but they were also talking about not doing that because of low attendance, and it's going to be intact, which I'm really happy about. And as far as North goes, we're talking about just getting a little contract together with North in regards to maintenance of the trails. We pretty much have been working really great together. So, the fitness stations, we are looking at trying to get them in May. We're reaching out again with North to get some student volunteers. We haven't nailed down a time, but Jay, Jesse, and I are meeting this Friday in the afternoon to go over where we're going to place these things and then go from there. So I look forward to that. Historic, I was not able to attend, but we're still planning on trying to do a property tour for me and the other new member. And it keeps getting pushed back because everybody's busy, but it'll happen. And the only thing I found interesting was someone was asking about the historical value of the Annandale Hotel, which I really have not even seen.
Oh, that's on Main Street.
Yeah, someone was inquiring about the historical value of that.
I wonder if it's the same problem.
It is. I'm hoping to get that when we have our property tour.
It's on some really old postcards, turn of the century, last century.
Really?
Postcards, yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll see how that unfolds. Also, another exciting thing, Eric Eisenhart, I think he's Proactivity?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. He reached out to me. We had dabbled in the idea of having they're one of the lines over on the trails. And there was, like, some hiccups, and they were planning already with this Bruce Run. They had enough parking there. He's actually involved. It's the North Hunter Educational Foundation that runs this.
So he contacted me and is showing interest, and everyone seems to be on board, met with the high school as far as utilizing a portion of the trails. They would have the parking at North Hunterdon. They would be utilizing regional.
Right.
The police would be monitoring the streets, but it would also entail parts of the trail. And they plan on making a big event. I guess there's a milk can game around then, so they're really trying to make a big deal. Yeah, so I think it's great. It's better than the Spruce Runs, which runs far away. And
yeah, well, I did that run last year.
Well, everyone's on board for this. Yeah. And, you know, Jesse and I talked about, you know, liability, anything like that. We're all online. We looped Jesse in with Eric and I. We had an email. So it's exciting. It's pretty much probably going to happen. So, and the dog park. It was the opening day, community day, and I'm getting such positive reviews. I think one person complained about something, but you always get so many complaints.
Wherever you go, you hear about the dog park now.
But I have a dog park Facebook page, if any of you are on Facebook. Not many are, but some are.
Dog park's a home run.
And people are posting pictures of their dogs playing and making friends, so I'm ecstatic, really. I think that's it. Oh, I did get a resident ask me about speeding on Stanton Mountain Road. I don't know, is it all paved for people
mm-hmm.
like taking advantage of the...
Probably. They've never been able to do it before.
I just wanted to mention that. I figured that's probably why they're speeding, but I think
a
couple
curve.
Kids almost got run over, so...
So pretty soon we're going to have an initiative to install potholes on roads.
It's fun for that.
Is that going to be in the paper?
That's it? No. I'd say from the... K through 8 Board of Education, the biggest thing that's going on is that on the 31st of the month, I'm not 100% positive on this comment, but what they will be doing is reporting out on the Close a School initiative. And what that is, that does not mean they're closing a school. It means the analysis to look at should they or should they not close a school. I've received from people various interpretations of what that means, up to and including that they would be voting on actually accepting or not accepting or not closing a school on that night. But it would be interesting. That's a project that's been being worked on for about 5 years now. So it would be nice to see what the recommendations of the schools are. Attendance, as you all know, has dropped significantly from when they opened the middle school, a little over 1,800 kids. The superintendent projects that for calendar year 18-19, they'll be under 1,200 kids. There should be some... I'd say consideration of looking at that would be a significant impact to what might happen or could happen or would be occurring with the adoption of our affordable housing elements too. But I doubt that would be a significant impact to the school. But it'd be an interesting thing to attend and to listen to what the analysis covered and what they came up with, along with that a new demographic study that they're doing too. So the planning board also met, and a couple of things of interest. The Clinton Agricultural Associates was coming for a site plan approval, and they decided not to attend, and the action was dismissed without prejudice. Basically, what that means is that there's some things they need to do for fire suppression there. They can come back with a recommendation at a later time. The planning board will review that and take into consideration what they want to do, where they want to head.
And in layman's terms, that's Dobbs.
Yes, Dobbs, yes.
Oh.
That's a good point.
Got it.
On there. But there's just in case people are wondering, there's a number of really good things that are going on in the township right now. The one I'm most anxious about is Harper's Table.
Me too.
And seeing that one come up. And, you know, in talking to people who know the gentleman that's opening that up, he's doing that all on his own, himself. Apparently friends and neighbors are helping him. So if you came up, actually you had to come up and pass that on your way to the meeting today, you could see he's out there working. There's a couple of other people working. They're not contractors. He's doing that himself. One person told me something's got to be happening there. A Pepsi truck was there dropping off a delivery. So you know they're close. But it sounds like that his promise was possibly the end of this month, mid-next month, that it would be open. So I'm going to say no later than the end of June. But don't quote me. I don't have any control on that one there. We did have some things that we'll be covering today. Is that the planning board did review is the third round housing plan. Tom was very kind enough to put together, I'm going to call it a summary document that's in support of the Fair Share housing agreement that we have with Judge Miller, covering all of the salient points. It's that document he's got open in front of him. It's a pretty sizable document, but it summarizes everything that we're taking into consideration in one fell swoop. We'll be voting on that, or voting on a resolution supporting that a little bit later in the meeting. Also, it was looked at the Marukian property by the planning board. Was looked at. Does the Marukian property and the resolution we have on the affordable housing project for consideration under resolutions fit in with the master plan consistency review? And it was deemed without question, which is usually some adaptations or some changes. It was done 100% that we are in conformance with the master plan. That would be all for the planning board.
Can I speak on the Marukian property now?
We'll get
there's that. Another public.
You just mentioned it.
We'll get
yeah, but we're doing our reports now.
Jesse, you have a report?
Yes. We have to notice the Comcast meeting, the public hearing, and our clerk and attorney are working on that to set the dates. There's going to be a 45-day notice and a 20-day notice and back and forth. So that'll happen in June and July. Their deadline for renewal is August. So we're still on track for that. We are have interviewed Class 3 police officers. So Ryan and John and I are going to sit down with the superintendent and talk about specials for the high school shortly. Promotion process for sergeant went very well. I interviewed candidates last week, and we have very good candidates. We've got some very good police officers. So we've got to tally scores and then decide how we're going to do these promotions, because our staffing in the police department is getting worse. We've hired, and then we lose some. We hire and we lose one. We just wanted to do people we hired is leaving. It's too much work. I mean, you know, it's an uphill battle. So we really want to get this guy that's on the resolution here for tonight on the road, trained. And then Ryan and I are going to talk about some other alternatives to speed up the process and get more police officers on the road. Vacations are coming. We've got two babies are due this summer, so it could get critical, what I'm saying. Got a resolution coming up next week for our foreman for public works. He's a good guy. We lost two. We're going to hire him, and we'll be able to. He's already in the budget, so we need the help. I mean, Jay needs the help. I would also echo that Public Works did a great job for Community Day. Special shout out to Brian Ike, who was the lone wolf Public Works guy there, hauling back and forth, getting garbage, and I mean, you know, he was everywhere, and he really did a yeoman's job taking care of the place. And I think this was a record for attendance and vendors this year. And as Amy said, the dog park and the dog parade were big hits. A lot of good pictures out there of fluffiest dog and ugliest dog and dog with the best tail. It was a fun afternoon. Want to hire a backup judge. We're getting pressure from the vicinage about the AOC. We've got too many cases that are being kicked down the road. So he'll come in and do some specials, special courts. I have this map I handed out. This is with the Water Authority. They're going to fix the dam. If you live in Lebanon Borough, be careful.
So that's just for the sake of the public. So there's going to be a closure of what is the part of Cherry Street, I think you might want to say, that runs along the reservoir to Round Valley Access Road, that's going to be closed for a period of time.
Starting fall or winter. It's not imminent, but they... they've got to do it. You know, the reservoir is low now, and they're going to keep it low because they're identifying spots that need reinforcing, concrete tubes or something. And they have asked if they could go Monday to Saturday, two 10-hour shifts. No backup horns, no explosions, but if they can keep going, they'll get it fixed faster. I think that's something we should authorize. I mean, it's not going to hurt anything, but they need to get moving.
Do we need a resolution for that?
Just your approval.
Truck traffic would basically be where 629 and...
Old Mountain Road, I guess.
How are they going to feel about that?
Well, it's the only alternative. They've got to fix the dam. I mean, there's no
I'm not. Obviously,
ever,
they'd rather
been down here?
Not drown as well, but I'm just wondering if they know that.
Yeah. Windy Acres. So Windy Acres, as we all know, is kind of messy. The environmental cleanup is mostly done. Now we've got to get the old junk barn... houses, this metal swimming pool, sheds, outhouses, and failed cesspools cleaned up and filled in appropriately. I have a meeting later this month at the DEP to talk about that and access. Right now, the bridge that was the main access to the farm is closed. It's fallen apart. But I met with our engineer and a bridge engineer a couple weeks ago, and we believe we can repair what's there, not rebuild or have a new bridge, which saves time and money. the idea would be to reinforce the one abutment, put the new bridge down, a metal bridge on top of it, and we're in faster and at less cost.
And that will immediately give emergency service
Correct.
Access.
Yes, and the temporary bridge will be in there shortly because they got to start cleaning up. So that's progress.
Would accommodate that heavy rescue truck?
Doubt it. I think it's 20, 10 tons. Lynn, our court administrator, John, and I are interviewing deputy court administrator candidates later this month. Our deputy court administrator is a good, very good employee, took a job as the court administrator in the southern part of the county. So congratulations to her. We'll miss her. We are working on a vacant property ordinance so we can address some of the questions you came up with at the last meeting. So that's in the works. The fitness course, like I said, we're working on that and get that going. We'll start Friday placing that. So that's all I have.
Yes, sir. I really don't have too much above and beyond what we've spoken about at past meetings. You have the statistics. There really isn't a whole lot going on to report. As Jess said, we're experiencing a lot of turnover. It is an uphill battle, but you know the flip side of it is you want to be very sensitive about who you hire.
I know.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to just fill in vacancies. You have to have the right people to fill in vacancies. So that's kind of another dynamic of that problem.
Sounds like people are finding out that it's a little bit tougher job than they thought.
You know, you could put me on record as saying that sometimes people don't know what they're getting themselves into when they come here. But that's because of standards and because of our own internal standards. I'll point out that school's winding down, and we are continuing to flood the schools with a lot of checks. As you can see, we have 145 more school checks this month than we had last year this month. So, again, there's always a give and a take, and you know when we're pulling resources from, you know, we may not write as many tickets, but we're in the schools more, and vice versa. So. That's really all I have.
Thank you.
I forgot something. We had the 200 Club of Hunterdon County met last week, and several of our EMS from Clinton Township and several of our police officers That's and detectives right, yeah. were recognized for okay. the rescue squad for dynamic rescue operations, and our police department for some really high-speed, high-profile arrests.
One was certainly a burglary investigation.
Yep. And they did a good job, so they were all rewarded. I think that's nice to know that our guys are out there. You know, we took most of the night, Clinton Township,
yeah.
the police and the rescue squad.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing.
That is great.
Yeah. It is. It is nice to know, and it always feels good, believe me, when people recognize you. And I know the officers, you know, they do a lot, and they appreciate it. They really do.
I recall that burglary case. The officer was off duty, if I recall.
Yeah. On that, Saturday or Sunday, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. I think it wound up at the Dunellen train station, yeah. if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm.
Excellent job.
That's good. We'll move on to the action portion of our agenda. The first thing we're going to do is the adoption of an ordinance and a public hearing. This is on 1114-18, an ordinance amending the Township Code Chapter 165, Land Use Regulations Part 7, Zoning Regulations, for the creation of zoning districts AH-5, Affordable Housing District, to facilitate the development of a 100% affordable housing development at the property commonly known as the Berukian site, which is Block 82, Lots 4 and 4.03. At this time, we're here to have a public hearing on that. Does anyone have any comments on the ordinance for the Berukian site?
Was that helped?
Yes, actually, it's very good, and I will return it.
No worries.
And I did see it, but I didn't see it with the housing in there. I'm Suzanne Schust. I live on Regional Road. My questions, I really only had two. The first one is in regards to, there are two lots here, 4 and 4.03. All of the building for the affordable housing units that you have here, are only on one of the lots. Why are we taking both of the lots and turning them into affordable housing?
We're not. That will be the only affordable housing that will be developed
okay.
on that property because we only have about around 6 acres to utilize
right.
for affordable.
Right, but this says that it's taking lot. Let me just look at this. I had to blow it up because my glasses aren't good enough. For lot 4, that we're changing the designation from Lot 4 as well.
If I can I address that? Yeah, I think, first off, it's a good question, and I had the same one. Should we limit the rezoning just to 4.03, or should we do the whole tract? In a sense, because only 6 acres are available for development anyway, the zoning on the balance of the tract is more or less irrelevant because it's preserved. And although we know generally where the development's going to go,
right,
the specific lot lines haven't been drawn yet.
Right.
So it just was safer to do the entire tract.
So here is the problem from somebody who lives on the outskirt of that 4. And everyone probably who's here lives on the outskirt of 4. 4.03 doesn't affect anybody. There are no housing units. There's no houses built there right now. So once you change the designation of that Lot 4 to affordable housing, it's no longer. What if you can't get sewer or water for some of the other projects? Would you be able to just move those projects onto Lot 4 because it's already designated?
No. We only have the balance of the property is state deeded, if I'm not incorrect.
It's not. It was acquired with open space monies, not state money. So it's not on your open space inventory yet. But the ordinance that authorized the acquisition, which is what binds the township
right.
in terms of how it can use the property,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was only 6 acres that were carved out. The rest of it can only be used for open space purposes. So that's why I say the zoning on the remainder of the tract is almost irrelevant because
right.
it doesn't.
Why can't we just leave it as it is instead of changing it? This way, all the people.
I went back and forth.
All the people who are living along that 4, and that would be me.
Understood.
Yes. Would feel much more comfortable that you couldn't just all of a sudden turn around and say, oops, we need this, and look, it's already zoned for that. We would prefer, well, I don't know about you guys, but I would prefer that it stay.
Tom, do you want to?
Well, one of the, probably the most significant issue that came up was that if we did not include Lot 4,
mm-hmm.
that if there was an issue where the site had to connect utilities up to Regional Road where the existing sewer and water are, where we anticipate connecting, that might cause an issue. If we didn't include it now, it would just raise a question in terms of how that property could be not developed but impacted from that standpoint.
But couldn't you just put an easement there as opposed to taking that whole
property? It raised some legal questions, and just for the sake of, I don't want to say the sake of simplicity, but I think we all agree to avoid any future hiccups. This is so critical. It's a critical component of potential affordable housing plan that just
right.
to play it safe, it would do that, knowing full well that Lot 4 will never be developed, ever.
Well, when that whole piece of property was acquired, we assumed that it was all going to be open space all the time. I get this little carve-out thing mm-hmm. is different. But at the time, the people who lived there assumed that that was going to be the case. And now that assumption is, well, we're not going to use that because we don't have to, but we just want to change it anyway. So this is the problem.
I understand.
With
and I think
the slippery slope.
Right. But I think the important thing to impart is that there are a number of additional steps between now and when any affordable housing is built.
Right.
That are public, that allow for an opportunity for residents to come out and ensure that it's being done in the right way, in the right place, and in a way that everyone is comfortable with.
Right. And I would think that it would make the people who are residing there now more comfortable to leave it not zoned as affordable housing and just change the lot that you need. Because you're saying, well, we're trying to avoid a hiccup. Well, we're trying to avoid a hiccup, too, with hundreds of units maybe backing up to our houses. I understand the affordable housing, you have to do it, and this is a very nice compromise. It seems like a nice plan,
right.
And it's in a good place, and there seems to be access, and, you know, it doesn't seem to be, you know,
intrusive.
Yes, yeah. Intruding on anybody's privacy. So, of course, we've had a privacy discussion about my house because I front North Hunterd in high school. So I have no privacy in the front, only in the back. So besides that, if we change it, that just puts one less step that anyone would have to take in order to put additional units on there. And what concerned me is when I was reading the entire, most of the stuff is online, I believe.
It is.
And it was very hard to go through, but I read most of it. Most I didn't understand, but one of the things that concerned me was a statement, and I can't tell you where it was, that said, if we cannot come up with the water or sewage for another piece of property, that we would be able to move it to a different area. So,
and I think that might have been an older plan.
It could have been. I don't know.
Could have been. I don't know specifically. But with regard to this, you brought up some good points, and I would be concerned too, frankly, if I was a resident and lived in the area. But just to expand upon a few thoughts. This is the site. I'm sorry for the tiny map for everybody. Maybe it would help if I stood up. This is the area we're talking about. It's an existing clearing. It's about 1,500 feet away from the closest house on Windy Hill. And this area, this is Lot 4, by the way. This is Lot 4.03. Most of Lot 4 is also environmentally constrained. We're in the Highlands area, and there's certain buffers that are associated. So beyond what we've already discussed, it can never be developed because of that anyway. So there's really no scenario. One, because it was purchased with open space funding, would never happen.
Again, to clarify, you could no more than 6 acres of the entire property can ever be developed.
Mm-hmm.
The town is confined to 6 acres.
I can't argue with you over that.
And again, regardless of the zoning.
Exactly. So why are we changing it? When we don't need it, we can't use it. Why designate it as affordable housing if it's never going to have affordable housing?
Well, as Mr. Behrens explained, because there may be I think a lot of this just goes to the land use approval process. If there's infrastructure that has to run underground,
and why
you just
we
don't know.
Have easements.
It comes down to disturbance, and it seemed to be a legal issue and safer to proceed in this way.
And easements don't get you around zoning.
Okay.
And the only way I can fully, I'd have to get super technical, which is just going to make your eyes cross. So I
they
think,
already are.
Right. So I would make them cross even more.
Okay, thanks.
I'll spare you.
But I still would think it's a problem, and I'm sure other people are having the same issue. My only other question is, and I think it was answered by the photograph, the picture here. Each unit, it says like 80, maximum of 90 units.
Maximum 90.
Each unit is one building or one residential unit where a family would live. So the eight, like one unit doesn't comprise 10 apartments. Am I correct?
You are correct.
It's one dwelling unit.
Per household.
Right.
And it could be townhouses, it could be flats.
It's a mix of one, two, and three bedrooms.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but one unit refers to a single dwelling unit.
Yeah.
Okay. That was my other question. And thank you very much. I appreciate
thank
it.
You. Anyone else?
Oh, you can have, if you want it, you can have it.
No, thanks.
There's a new one that was adopted on Monday. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's what this is.
Looking hopefully at the audience for comments. With that, we'll close the public hearing. We'll move on to vote on the adoption of the ordinance.
Just before you do, I just wanted to point out there were the planning board had noted just literally some typos in the ordinance, a couple of places where the word wall was singular, it should have been plural. There's a missing quotation mark, that sort of thing. So what I'm going to ask is that when you vote on the ordinance, if it can be voted on with typos corrected. I won't go through each and every one because they really are just typos. They have nothing to do with the substance. But
we move on to the vote. Does anyone have any comments?
I would just say that I understand the concerns the residents have about having both lots in, but I think based on the timeline that we have to adopt this in and all the deadlines we have to meet for our court appearances, in addition to some concern legally with how this, if we limited it to just one lot, could impact the ability to develop on the lot we want to, I would say that I'm in favor of the ordinance of being adopted as is. However, strenuously state for the record that I only want to see any affordable housing built on the lot it's currently shown it. That's what I'm going to fight for. That's what I'm going to make sure happens.
I don't even want that.
Right. So.
I want more trails.
Exactly.
You have a problem there, Amy, because you have to regroup the whole trip.
No, actually, we are looking into that. We had a meeting with Jay. There is property. Personally, I want to eliminate the trail from that property altogether and just move it more towards when the building starts. Mm-hmm. To have a trail around development. But there is more property towards Allerton because we still own a lot of land there. When we get closer to this, I don't want to be around any of that personally. That's how I feel.
Got a lot of Calfill, which is the property.
We got more property there. I'd rather just eliminate that and have our trails over there.
So we have a property on the other side of Aldridge.
Yes.
If you want, you've got to come up closer to the microphone.
Well, and you'd be, you need to.
This is recorded, and people will hear an answer back to something they have no idea.
And you need to reopen the public hearing because you formally closed it.
Sorry. That's true.
But yes, we do own the part of the open space that exists there from Allerton, where I guess where the church is, north, but up to Maruki and behind All Trades by behind Max Span. It doesn't go all the way back to the residences that are up off you know that you access off a regional and.
But it does offer us more acreage to play around with big trails.
I think it's also important to note in approving this that we are under a significant time constraint and also an order. The state Supreme Court has ordered affordable housing. We have an agreement with Judge Miller. It's important that we get this done for two reasons, I think. One is to meet the timeline associated with meeting the agreement with Judge Miller. But I'm going to say as importantly and maybe even more so, it's also there's a financial or a fiduciary responsibility that council has to the community, and that is if we get this done in that timeline,
right.
We're going to be competing for some of the cheapest funds available to develop that property, thereby saving the taxpayers of the township a minimum of $8 million. So getting this done in an expedient manner to meet those timelines, I think, is also critical.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not preferable. I mean, we're really flying by the seat of our pants with this.
That's something we have to do, but let's do it as economically as possible. Other comments?
No.
Actually, have a vote?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to make a motion to adopt with the typo changes there.
Okay. And I'll second that.
Okay. Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
And Council President McTiernan?
Yes. Okay, with that, we'll move to the resolutions. First resolution that we have is approving Edward Martin as an alternate judge. Any discussion or comment?
None. Seems like we need him to clear a backlog and for when we have a judge who's out, which probably helps to create the backlog.
Tremendously. Okay. No questions? With that, can we have a motion?
I make a motion.
Second.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski.
I'll abstain.
Councilman Malay.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes. Okay. Second resolution is approving Carl Taylor as an alternate prosecutor. I think we've discovered that we've got some challenges and days off, vacations, etc. And this person has becomes highly recommended. Any comments, discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malay.
Yes.
And Council President McTiernan.
Yes. We've heard Lieutenant Melski's comments in regards to our police officers, and we've got now the opportunity to authorize the hiring of a new police officer who has been through the security and interviewing, et cetera, process, Stephen Harz. Any comments, questions, concerns?
Sounds like we need them.
We
do. Obviously.
Have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. You got it.
Yeah. Okay, Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes. We also have that, I think originally we were going to be approving the budget on our next meeting on the 23rd, but we've got a number of issues with availability and whether or not we can have a quorum. So with that, we need to amend the 2018 temporary budget, which is was attached for everyone's review. Any comments, questions, concerns there?
Nope.
No. I have a motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Kachanowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
Council President McTiernan?
Yes. We've had some discussion on this already, but we've got a resolution endorsing the third round housing plan element and fair share plan. I think it's important to note that Tom has put together a good document. that summarizes all of the data that we need in support of our fair share housing agreement, and also in support of what we've come to with the agreement with Judge Miller and the fair share housing. I would ask if there's any questions, or if Tom, do you have any additional comments on that?
Well, just as you had mentioned, it's a requirement, and the township does have to comply and adopt the plan within a certain amount of time frame. The planning board has already done that, but having the council review and endorse it adds that extra level of certainty moving forward with the process.
Any questions or concerns?
None.
Have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilman Malay?
Yes.
And Council President McTiernan?
Yes. Here's a bigger one. We have a resolution selecting developer for the Marukian Affordable Housing Project. Interesting that when we went out for what's now known as the Willows, we didn't receive much of a response at all. And now we've got four, I think, quality applicants for this particular opportunity here from a development perspective. I think we need to select one of the four. Anyone have comments or recommendation on what they'd see?
Tom, did you want to weigh in on some of the criteria that we used when we went out to bid?
Sure. Just some things to think about. The developers basically submitted information that all indicated they were financially capable of carrying out the project. They all have experience in developing affordable housing, but one of the most critical issues which had come up prior in the meeting is this need for the New Jersey Home Mortgage and Finance Agency's 9% financing program, and really have not only a firm but an individual with a track record in securing that type of funding is really critical at this point, because the township really has two stabs at this, and there's a deadline July 24th of this year for the first chance, and then there'll be a second chance shortly thereafter. And again, this is a critical component, the Marukian site, of the township's affordable housing plan. So in order to alleviate development pressures elsewhere, it's necessary that we get this financing. So to backtrack a little bit, it's imperative that we find somebody and a firm that can get this done. So it's a question of who do we think. We think they all could develop the site in terms of buildings and driveways, but who can get the job done, or who's the township most comfortable with in terms of applying for that financing, and who has the most experience and track record of securing that.
And Tom, I'm looking at these. I've got a lot of experience with RFQs,
yeah.
Actually RFPs more than RFQs. And looking at the four vendors that responded to the request, all four of them seem equally qualified that they can get this job done.
In terms of development, I would agree with that.
But it would be more, from my perspective, when I looked at it, would be more on who's the one most likely to give us the biggest bang for the buck, as you just mentioned, to get that job done, get the financing, and make that work. And I know a couple of these, one of them I was surprised in the executive summary. We're reading through the executive summary, which is a one-page document, and I expect someone like this to pay attention to a lot of detail, because we're on a very tight timeline to get this work done in order to meet the judge's requirements for share housing, and they didn't even spell plan right. So I look at that, and I see that developer, and they've got something like 4,000 units that they're managing out there. And I wonder if they're not paying enough attention to give an introductory letter to this body introducing themselves, if that's someone that I could consider. Another one I had the same issue with in looking at what they had and what they put forth out there is that would we be one of a small one, and they were looking at another property, that's the CIS, was looking at another property to work with, would we be stretching them a little bit too thin, and would we be that short end of the stick that's out there with these some of these bigger companies that they wouldn't be able to respond to? And when someone did respond, would it be a bigger development opportunity than the smaller development opportunity that we have here? Because our development is not that big of a unit in comparison to some of what was cited by the folks that were there. When I looked at this, I narrowed it down to there were two that I liked that I thought were looking at Clinton Township, one more so than the other, and that was the Ingerman response. I can't pronounce the other one. The Pearl?
Pearl.
Is that right?
Pearl. Yes.
Look at a rose.
I didn't know how to pronounce it either. Somebody told me.
I'm just guessing on that. And the Pearl one, when I looked at it, what separated that one out from the others from my personal perspective is these ones here, which were the Conifer, and CIS, when I read through the document, they're talking about them. That's not bad, because we're looking at that you need to demonstrate who you are, that you can do and deliver and perform, and that you've got experience and expertise. But they only talked about them. There was a comment in there about whether or not there would be transportation, and we could utilize that transportation to get more points in here. Ingerman said, hinted at, that we may have that. But the Pearl one was customized to Clinton Township. It talked about Clinton Township. And also, it knew, the writers knew, that we have an agreement in place. So they took some additional time to do either research or discussion with the township to find that information out. And I have to say that the two that stood highest for me would be the Pearl recommendation and the Ingerman recommendations, with my weighting heading towards the Pearl.
I would throw my two cents in to say, obviously, all four are quite capable of providing affordable housing and have done so throughout New Jersey. We do have, and you can evidence this by the fact that Ingerman is producing a development for us already. We're cooperating with CIS to provide another one of our developments. And the vice president of Pearl for development is a former employee of another developer that we used. And I have probably the highest level of confidence in that person to achieve the tight timeline that we really have to work under. My impression was similar to yours, and I would also be leaning toward Pearl, mostly based on that prior experience and the confidence level that I think I've got with their ability to deliver quickly.
And that would not be to diminish the other firms. They're all capable of doing it, just which would be the best for us.
I wasn't familiar with the guy at Pearl that you know of, but that only adds to, I thought Pearl was the winner. I'm not much on speeches, but that's my vote.
Really want me to get into it? I don't think you do. I guess I'll probably go with this as well.
You're okay with Pearl?
I guess.
So with that, I believe with the resolution, we need to take a vote or have a motion to vote on accepting the response submitted by Pearl. Am I articulating that correctly?
Yeah, you'd be passing adopting the resolution that was included in your agenda packets, but I am now diligently filling in Pearl in all the blanks. And Carla will have a cleaned-up copy tomorrow, not one with my handwritten notes on it.
All right, so I'll move a motion to adopt the resolution accepting Pearl's submission.
I'd second that.
Councilwoman Switlik.
Yes.
Councilman Kotchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malloy.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes. And our last resolution would be the resolution of need for the Marukian Affordable Housing Project.
And Trishka, could you explain this a little bit?
I was afraid you were going to ask. The best explanation I can give is that it's something that the developer needs from us in order to go to the HMFA for financing. Beyond that, I really can't explain.
All right. Then I'll...
We need it.
We need it.
Well, so basically there's a point system, and my understanding is that by getting this, it'll help their chances of getting the financial award that they need within that short time frame.
Which is a very tight time frame.
Very tight.
And basically, by resolution of need, I think what this is saying is we need them to do this project for us, for our constitutional obligation.
I'd make a motion to approve the need.
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Anybody want a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Good job. Councilwoman Switlik.
Yes.
Councilman Kotchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malloy.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes. With that, that completes all of the resolutions and action items. Now we come to the tough part. We have to spend some money.
I'll move to pay the bills.
I'll second it.
Councilwoman Switlik.
Yes.
Councilman Kotchinowski.
Yes.
Councilman Malloy.
Yes.
Council President McTiernan.
Yes. With that, we've concluded most of the business section of our meeting. We come to our last public comment section. And looking out at the public, we've got a gentleman here. Could you state your name and address, please?
Robert Parcani, 16 Dartmouth Road. I must say I was very disappointed in this embody, the way you selected your contractor for your project. In one case, you cited spelling errors. I note that when we talked about the zoning issue, we said there were spelling errors in the zoning issue. That does not make a contractor unqualified. We talked about personal relationships.
Take one thing just as a correction. There was no statement that a contractor was unqualified. I think the statements the body made, all four contractors were qualified. Some deemed more qualified than others.
Right. I stand corrected. But the gist of my remarks remain the same, that to eliminate an opportunity for a qualified, as you stated, qualified supplier because they have a spelling error in their document, I find a poor reason.
Since I'm the one who made the comment, I'll say you're oversimplifying the comment. The comment that was part of the full review that I personally made, since I made that comment, I deemed the person or the writer or the company, however you want to look at that, as qualified to do the work. What I did do was look at other as being more qualified or more in the best interest of the township.
Okay, well, my objection to considering spelling errors in your decision, which you, I think we both agree that that was part of your decision process, but there were spellings. Okay, so you cited that. You cited that, but it had no meaning to it. But that's fine.
I'm not going to justify it.
Okay, that's fine.
That wasn't my decision. I'm a bad speller.
Yeah.
okay, I didn't decide because of
just
spelling, personally.
A lot of people put a lot of effort into that.
Are you a representative of this firm?
I am not. I don't know any of the firms. Okay.
And I would just say I wouldn't suggest that it's necessarily a personal relationship because I don't really have one. We just have prior experience with their ability to accomplish what we need them to accomplish.
So I just wanted to
are
speak
you, are
that.
Are you questioning the selection of the firm?
I understand.
That decision is done. I just wish that in the future when you consider other people's work, that a spelling error does not.
I understand.
Okay?
That's okay. Completely understand. Yep.
Okay. And with respect to the zoning issue with the two properties being zoned, people have some real concerns about the property values. And I think we all understand that. And I think they were owed a better explanation as to why the second property had to be zoned. Again, decisions made. I'm coming in. I don't know nearly as much as all of you do about this, but I think as a audience member, I was a bit concerned that their concerns were shorted. But, you know, I don't question the decision. I've looked at these properties. I think they're good properties for affordable housing. I think we owe our people a little bit more respect than to say, well, it was easier to do it this way. So
I think that does a little oversimplify. I think there were concerns, and Tom, you can correct me.
Well, we discussed this issue.
I think you had concerns that you might need that zoning to allow utility access to the site for which we're planning to use or to build affordable housing on. Is that
exactly? Basically, to allow for disturbance, again, given the tight time frame, that we didn't have time to mess around, even with easements or any obstacles that we might not, you know, be aware of from not giving the zoning designation. And also to be aware that that other lot will never be developed, lot four I'm speaking about, which is the property in question. And so we just all felt that it was safer to proceed in this manner, again, to alleviate development pressure elsewhere in the town.
And I heard from the residents, and this is actually a very good point, and I thank you for bringing it up. I hadn't heard the concern that the neighboring designation of an affordable housing zone would impact property values, which I think maybe, is that what you?
Well, there was a concern about privacy.
Right.
There was concern about just the utilization of the land, et cetera. I think we all know the history
right.
that affordable housing can impact housing values. We all know that. I don't, if anyone disagrees with me, please let me know. But the whole purpose of open hearings is that we allow the public to influence your decisions.
when you come in here having already made the decisions. That's why people go out the door slamming the door.
But go ahead, you can.
He slammed the door because he didn't have patience to wait for the proper time to speak, and you know that.
Yeah.
But there's an order to this. We're in the middle of, you know, the liaison reports. If he just had a little bit more patience.
Yeah, but the statement he made is that the decision's already been made. Why do I bother? Or something.
Well,
that
we have no idea what he wanted
about
to talk about. No. We have no idea what he wanted to talk about.
Okay. Well. But also, I've stated my concerns.
Take into effect, this is not the first discussion on the Marukian property. The Marukian property has been under discussion for a couple of years. I sat in that audience prior to becoming a member of this council and listened to this council have discussions on it. So tonight was not the first discussion or the first time we've looked at that property.
I understand that, Dan, but I think to the gentleman's point, the concern really isn't so much where we've discussed over the years citing it, because it's pretty much in this location. It's that the parcel that we haven't really discussed putting
this
it on
before
is included in the zoning change.
Right.
And then there's a concern, well, are we really trying to give ourselves a backup plan if we have to move it, that kind of a thing.
Right.
And I mean, I can assure you from my perspective, I'm committed to putting it where we're showing it.
Yeah, it's not
and
a backup
and to
plan.
And Tom's point is very valid, yeah, that he made during the hearing. There are a lot of environmental constraints on that property that really do prohibit and limit development.
And I actually want to compliment all of you, because I've looked at all those properties. They're all excellent choices for affordable housing.
Thank you.
They're lovely properties, and they're not going to impact people negatively. I just wanted to.
I just want to make a point, and I respect everything that you had said. I appreciate it very much. Just so you know, you heard us earlier tonight talking about hiring police officers and the hiring process and the interview process and applicants and so forth. One of the things that we make them do is, without knowing they're going to get into it, is have them make a writing sample while they're waiting to be interviewed. I want to see how these people write, and I want to see their attention to detail, and I want to see their resumes. And certainly one mistake isn't going to bounce someone out of the process. But the way I took the comment was, when you have two candidates of comparable or equal, that's just the type of thing that can lose a position for you. It may sound very harsh, but there has to be a way to make that decision. So, again, I'm not really even my place to quarrel with what you said. I think I appreciate it. But I wanted to let you know that we do that. I do that.
But it also impacts people whose English is not their first language, which is something we don't want to discriminate against as a public body.
I think that the Councilman McTiernan's real decision point, at least the one that struck me, because it's one that I had as well, was this developer that we chose did really tailor their presentation to the project and how they could help us fulfill it, including a detailed timeline with decision points and how they bring it across the finish line in a tight fashion.
Yeah,
and that's.
I'm not questioning your final judgment, because not having read any of them, I'm not going to question.
I understand.
Appearance is also important.
Yeah, and all of them, being at least this big, spending 60 hours reading them, they all had spelling / grammar mistakes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you
so much
for your time.
All your service. Yep. Thank you.
How you doing? I'm Jen Carlson. My husband and I live on the corner of Stanton Lebanon Road and Deer Run. We've lived here about 5 years. We have 6 daughters, 4 that are still home. I had spoken with Councilwoman Amy this morning.
Yeah, this is the person that was talking about.
Yeah, I had run late. My husband didn't get home till late.
No,
we have a 10 and 12-year-old. I apologize.
It's speeding because it just recently paved.
Yeah, and the problem I'm having is we have a development behind us, the Deer Run, which is a dead-end road. So we have about a dozen kids that catch the bus all at this one little corner. And it's to the point where I understand the speed limit's 40, but everybody, being it's a county road, does 90. In the summertime, it's even worse. The summer, I really don't care.
You're talking, just to be clear, you're talking about Stanton-Lebanon Road.
Stanton-Lebanon Road.
Okay.
And the corner of Deer Run is where our bus stop is.
Not Stanton-Lebanon.
Oh, okay.
Stanton-Lebanon.
And that's the road you live on.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And the majority of the kids that are in our development behind us catch the bus stop at the corner of my house. You know, as far as the police department, we are ridiculously grateful for you, and we appreciate everything. Honest to God, because we've called so many times, neighbors have called so many times. I can't tell you, it's been dozens and dozens of times that police officers on a regular basis will come there and sit. And all of my kids know every one of you guys. We have a cat named Officer Tiger.
That's right.
But, I mean...
Great. We used to have a lion, too, but he left. So we had lions and tigers.
But, I mean, honestly, I mean, you guys will sit there and you'll talk to the kids and ask them what they want to be. I mean, I have no issues with the police department, and I don't put this on the police department. I can't ask them, and neither can the neighbors, to sit there every single day, because I'm sure there's tons of other neighbors in other areas that are having the same issue. And I know, being it's a county road, we can't do a speed bump, and we can't do this. We can't. But maybe if we can put up signs where we'll double the fines if they want to blow through. You know, this morning it happened again. The bus turns the yellow lights on, then it turns its red lights on and puts its bar out. Well, then my 10 and 12-year-old know at that age to look both ways, and here comes a red BMW sports car and goes, shoom, right past it.
And well, that road,
yeah, and this isn't the first time. You know, last summer...
Buses have videos to...
They have them on the inside of the school bus. They do not have them on the outside of the school bus. And the bus company has also called the police department multiple times. But the problem is, without a license plate or this, that, or the other, and if they're speeding, the last thing I'm worried about looking at is a license plate. Last year we had an issue where I had to grab my daughter, hook her around, and turn her around, and he almost sideswiped us and the bus. That's how close he was to hitting either of us. And there's nothing we can do about it.
To make matters worse, now you're going to have the motorcyclists.
Well, the motorcyclists we usually don't get till the summer.
Right.
That's usually right when the kids get out of school.
And
they're not in the morning. They're usually not in the morning because we usually get the afternoon when the kids get off the bus. It's usually not an issue because nobody's around at 3 o'clock.
And if anybody wants
7 a.m.? 7 a.m. is a madhouse, and I understand everybody's in a rush to get to work. I get that. You know, there's been times I've been late. But it's different when you're on 31 or 202, and then you're on a side street where kids are catching a school bus. There has to be something we can do in order to either double the fines if you're speeding and during, you know, school bus hours, or I know we can't put in like a speed bump because it's a county road, or lower the speed limit. There has to be something, or put out like Reddington has those digital speed limit signs that they flash the thing and you get a ticket if you're blowing that, you know. There has to be something.
We can't, in the state of New Jersey, I don't think we can issue tickets off of a...
Not anymore, but we can deter them by putting it there.
Yeah, it does.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, I can't ask the police officers to sit there every single day, because when the police officers sit there, everybody does the speed limit. Everybody does 10 miles under the speed limit. But I can't expect them
don't
to...
Don't we own one of those signs?
That's not fair.
Yes, we do. I think they're up there by Hyannis Greenhouse right now. And then there's one we were using for Community Day, if I'm not mistaken.
On Red Squad
still. There's two different types of signs. The speed signs, like we used to have the one in Annandale when you would come right off of 78. I don't know if that still works or
it doesn't.
No.
But Hamilton just has to give, because I don't want to, you know, it's one thing to complain. It's another thing when you got a 70-pound kid. And even if they are doing 35, 40, my kid's dead. And on a regular basis, we go through this, and there's been more than half a dozen times where it's come way too close. It's been dozens of times where they've almost where they just go by, but it's been a half a dozen times where it's come way too close.
Is it an intersection where the bus stops?
It's on the corner. We have Stanton Lebanon Road is the county road that runs. You know, that's why we have Deer Run, which is a dead end development road. So all the all the kids live in the development.
So it's that intersection.
So it's right there on the corner of the end of my driveway and Deer Run.
Okay. Half of that is in.
And it's around 7 a.m.
And it's 7 a.m.
Yeah.
You have the high school kids are at 7, my younger children at 7:15, 7:30 to 8 o'clock are the elementary and younger primary children.
Yeah. Your daughter takes the bus with one.
Okay. Carlson's?
Emma is, we're just down the road.
Two quick points on that, ma'am. One, you may want to call the Reddington Township Police as well, being that they're about less than a
mile. Well, that's just that we have property in both. Our house is in Clinton Township, and then our farm property is in Reddington.
Right. So
and I know that's the other thing, too.
Deer Run's the same way.
And that's the other thing that I had an issue with, too, is because when we've called you before and the car sped by, you guys are at jurisdiction at my driveway. So it's...
And so, but you may, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah.
You may want to call them, and maybe you'll get a couple of details out of them, and people learn to slow down. And the other thing is, with the motorcyclists, we're going to be out there anyhow trying to combat them, but they'll bend the license plates up so you can't get them on the license plate readers. And now what you have is a motorcycle. If you want to check it out, go onto YouTube, and you can see the motorcyclists doing the stunts and everything up here. And now you have a police officer speeding after a speeding motorcycle, and that's also very
I just difficult. Don't want to wait until something happens for somebody to do something.
On 523 in Reddington, when you're coming down the hill to Stanton, Lebanon Road, yeah, the county did put
they have one. That's been there for almost 6 months at least, now almost a year maybe.
Over a year now.
Yeah, because that's the one thing that once you come down, and then the cop sits at the end of the hill where Stanton, Lebanon is.
Can she call the county for any help?
We could probably send a letter to the county requesting that they look into
it. I don't.
A county road. Yeah.
So there's a bus in my neighborhood, and it comes out of its lane a little, and it puts the nose of the bus into the other lane.
This is a little bit higher speed.
I've talked to the bus company, and the bus company, the bus driver used to do that. She used to get to the point, because after the very first time.
It's a bus driver now.
It's a guy. It's a guy now.
Well, now it's a guy. It used to be the female. When the very first incident where literally they side-scraped almost the bus, it was a female. She called the police department, and she started crossing over the lane. Well, she got written up by the bus company because legally she's putting the other children at risk by coming over the lane. So she had to stop doing that, and now it's a he. Yeah. But they can't do that because then there's other children that are on school bus, and if somebody does blow by either way, instead of putting, you know, as horrible as this sounds, instead of putting two children at risk or four children at risk, you're putting a whole bus full of people at risk.
Yeah. I'm concerned why these bus companies don't have a, I mean, not like...
A camera.
Well, that was the other thing I had said, on the front bumper or back bumper. Because they have the cameras inside, but they don't have them on the outsides.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have them on the outside. Not that that would help a kid getting run.
No, but at the same time, if they're speeding past, we could give them the information.
They need to...
But a few people get tickets, that word gets around, and they'll stop. Mm-hmm. If there wasn't an officer there.
And that's what I'm saying. You know, when the police officer's there, it's great, but I can't expect them to sit, you know, at our development every single day. And you guys have sat there a lot of times, I could say, but there's something just has to give. And I, like I said, I don't, you know, I put out other options. I don't know realistically what can be done, but...
It can't hurt to ask the county to look at it.
Yeah.
But other than getting the county to do something, it's really up to you guys to come up.
Keep sending a message to them that, you know, keep... What's going to happen is the police will be out there, and then people will catch on to it, and they'll notice slow down in that area. And then slowly but surely we'll work to a different area of the township. Like I said, Murfield... Or you know, higher up on Route 629, or where the intersection of Country Club Drive and 31. I'm naming all these because people will come in here and talk about them, and then people will then learn that we're not down on your end, and they'll start speeding again. That's also why it's important that you keep doing this. You keep letting us know about it.
And the bus company won't change the route because it's a dead end.
No, because they go around Stanton, Lebanon, or Stanton Mountain, or whatever it is up there. So it's a hassle.
And that's one of those bus routes, if I remember right. That's one of the longest ones in the...
We're all the way on the outskirts. We're the end of the Clinton Township.
A couple of weeks ago when they had construction on the...
Yeah, they had to drop them off the church.
So.
But, I mean, like I said, even if we could, you know, put up signs or something that says that you'll get a double the fine if you're speeding in, you know, during school hours or something.
I think all the signage has to be approved by the county as well.
And backed by ordinance or backed by law, right? Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Never easy, but like, you can look into it.
Like I said, we're going to be there, perhaps not directly where you are, and I understand it's a different time, but we're definitely, I've already put out an email.
Yeah, my issue's not with you. It's not with, you know, anybody per se, you know what I mean?
But. I recognize that, but I just want you to know it's not like you're just going to come here and it's just going to be lost on us. It's not. We're going to try to address it, and there's similar issues that have been brought to our attention.
Yeah, I know I'm not the only one in the area that's had an issue.
Well, I'm finding out that it really is a racetrack up there, literally, with the motorcyclists and the likes.
Yeah, the motorcyclists. Coming from Reddington into Clinton Township seems to be a little bit faster, too, because you come down that curve downhill.
Well, that's my problem with my kids, because when the bus is coming this way from Reddington's side, and there's a little bit of a lip right there before you come down. So I understand that maybe the cars can't see the red light, but you should at least slow down and stop or slam on the brakes instead of just blow right by a bunch of school-age kids.
Yeah.
It hasn't been in vain. I'm aware of it.
Appreciate it.
No, please, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Comments? With that, do I have a motion to go into executive session?
Yeah, let me read the, since we don't have the resolution on the agenda. Be it resolved that the mayor and council will now convene in a closed session that will be limited only to consideration of items with respect to which the public may be excluded pursuant to Section 7B of the Open Public Meetings Act. The general nature of the subject to be discussed in this session is as follows. matters related to the implementation of the township's affordable housing settlement agreement and upcoming compliance hearing in connection with its third round affordable housing plan.
Motion.
I'll make a motion.
Will there be any action
yet? I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. There will be no action taken.
And we need a voice vote.
We do a voice vote.
All eyes.
All eyes.
Wait,
what's her name?
Amy. Yeah, make a full change. Just make sure he's not working around the building. And
we're back in council.
Tom has something he desperately wants to say.
Do you have something to say?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.